Session number 106743.
Mr. Alden, Reel 3. I think you've got a story about after the war concerning the captain of this Italian submarine.
That's right. About 25 years after the Alfredo
Capellini
was having a reunion of her crew and her captain, who had been killed on the 12th of December 1942, they were having a memorial service. And I had a letter from Italy addressed to me at my home address saying that they were most anxious that some senior officers from the two ships that Alfredo Capellini had sunk, a destroyer called HMS Shakespeare and the Blue Funnel ship SS Eumaeus, should attend this reunion. On arrival in Italy, a host would be placed at your look after you, and everything would be placed at your disposal for your comfort. All you required was to could your airfare here. We anticipate that you should remain for about 4 days, which arriving on the 10th for the memorial and reunion on the 12th of December, and you return in about the 14th. Unfortunately, I was not in the best of health at the time, or else I might have taken up this very rather, what we might call, I don't know what you'd call it, that I don't know, it wasn't a good offer, was it? A good offer? Or was it?
So you didn't have any hard feelings towards the Japanese crew that had sunk you?
Italian?
The Italian submarine that had sunk
you? No, not really. We didn't see them at the time. But it was a remarkable thing how they found me and wrote this rather charming letter with this offer if I would go to their reunion.
Can we go on to the evacuation from Greece? What do you remember of that person?
Now, we were rushed up the HMS Kandahar through Suez, or the Red Sea and through the Suez Canal, to Suda Bay in Crete, where they organised transports to go up to evacuate Greece. It was similar to a Dunkirk evacuation. They were down on beaches and they were waiting and coming out in boats, scrambling up our side with what we call a scrambling net. And at midnight, at the stroke of midnight, we had to leave that harbour to be as far away as possible from the Stuga dive bombers when daylight came, but we never missed it. And we did at midnight, and we have left boatloads of soldiers there pulling out us, because we'll be back again tomorrow night. And we,
so you left promptly at midnight?
At midnight, without waiting. And on the way there, we were subjected to Italian high-level bombers, and on the way back to the German dive bombers, and they did cause a lot of casualties.
On the Kandahar?
No, on the transports that were being escorted. In fact, one transport with about 600 men was practically a lot. And there are two destroyers escorting her, HMS Diamond and HMS Rhinet, that were sunk at the time. And they, I think there was about 50 survivors, the ship were dive bombing. and went up in no time with an enormous loss. After about three nights, I think, of this, we gathered a load of soldiers that would land in Suda Bay, and we put them all in transport, and we then took them as an escort back to Alexandria.
So was the Kandahar hit at this time?
No, the Kandahar was not hit.
Did you have any near misses?
Yes, quite some near misses. But they were not, we had no direct hits, but very near misses.
What was the condition of the troops whom you embarked?
The troops that we embarked, they were pretty all out. We didn't take a lot on the destroyers in that short time, the time we got there and the time we had there, we didn't, but they were pretty all out. They had been retreating for a long, long time through Greece, but they were promptly sent back to Alexandria and all reconditioned and sent back again for the defence of Crete, which fell shortly afterwards. And then the evacuation started all over again with the evacuation of Crete, which a terrific loss to the Royal Navy in ships on the evacuation of Crete. HMS Kelly, Captain Mortimer Batten, his ship went, and a sister ship of his called the Kismet. And there were three cruisers, the Fiji, the Gloucester, and the Calcutta, and there was about eight destroyers lost at the time.
Did you take part in the evacuation from Crete?
No. On the way home from Suda Bay, I had what is commonly called a nervous breakdown due to the continual bombardment, bombing. In other words, with slang expression, was you were bomb happy. In other words, it was a nervous condition, it was a nervous breakdown. And I was discharged to the 64th General Hospital in Alexandria, where I went into the mental ward with some very disturbing mental cases for about 10 days.
What symptoms do you have when you're bomb happy?
It affects you in different ways. In my case, I was prominently, I was violently sick all the time with vomiting, and it's as you know, with that, and after your stomach is empty, this becomes an extremely painful and distressing condition, and you see all sorts of funny things happening to you. But the,
what sort of things did you say?
Well, although you were then in positively safe conditions, you think the next bump you hear is a bomb that's hit you. And the hospital ward there had some extremely distressing mental cases. And Australian soldiers, several of them, they were very distressed. There was only two who were so badly mentally disturbed that you could say they were perhaps not dangerous, but had to be carefully.
Well, how were you treated when you became bomb happy? Were you treated sympathetically? Or
oh, yes. In the hospital, at the 64th General Hospital, very, very, the doctors were very sympathetic there. Naval doctors and civilian doctors.
What about your shipmates and officers aboard ship?
Well, they didn't know anything about that because the Kandahar immediately went excuse me, on duties again.
So during the period that you suffered from the bomb happy
in hospital,
did you always meet with sympathy, or were
yes.
there people who were not sympathetic?
Yes, there was only that at the time in this ward there was army guards, and these army guards really, I might say, were a little lax, because they were supposed to accompany you to the toilet, or because we were not allowed to have your shaving material, You're not allowed to have a knife and fork. We ate with spoons. And there were occasions when one or two men were hurt by what they'd done to themselves when they should have been under supervision. Otherwise than that, everybody in this ward was extremely sympathetic, because no doubt they'd realised the condition that some of these men had suffered to be in such a mental state.
So nobody ever said to anybody, well, you're not really bomb happy, you're just trying to shirk the war?
No, never. It never occurred to anybody. I don't think that the cases in the war at the time when I was there, as far as I could see, were quite genuine. The two Australian soldiers, a couple of sailors, one young sailor had been on the Malta run all the time, supplying Malta, and naturally they had received a lot of stick in the way of bombs, and actually he was under a similar condition. But otherwise than that, everybody was most sympathetic. In fact, some of these mental cases, when they were, what you might say, mentally stable, that you could talk to them, were extremely interesting because of from where they came from. Otherwise than that. But after 10 days, I went into what was an occupational therapy ward, where ladies there taught you all sorts of handicraft. And I became very efficient in embroidery. I embroidered a very beautiful basket of violets, which I wished to purchase, but they would not let you purchase any of this by virtue of the fact it was sold for the benefit of the hospital, and so they could replace their stocks. But some of the goods that was produced by these occupational patients were marvellous.
Now, I think you were also sunk on HMS Medway in the Mediterranean.
That's right.
When and how did that come about?
After HMS Kandahar, in hospital, I went before a medical board that considered I was sufficiently cured from my mental condition, but recommended that I had 6 months shore base duties in Alexandria. And I, for messing, eating, sleeping purposes, I was on HMS Medway. But my job was, I was the senior electrical maintenance for the upkeep and maintenance of the small ships that were supplying Tobruk during the siege of Tobruk, May to December 1942. I took over there in about June. So I was awarded the Africa Star for that. Not very many naval men, I don't think, got the Africa Star, but I was awarded the Africa Star for those small ships that were supplying Tobruk, and they came in quite often very badly damaged, and electrical equipment was a question of doing the best you could with a short time at your disposal. The main thing was their navigation lights and their essential lighting and electrical equipment, domestic light and all that sort of thing. It was a question of bulb smashed and all that. You couldn't get round to that. Well, that could be left. After that, December 1942, when Tobruk was overrun, I went aboard HMS Wedmay as a torpedo I joined the torpedo staff preparing torpedoes for the submarines we made various tests on these torpedoes, and when the submarines came in after their action patrols, they were then loaded into their tubes. Each torpedo that we prepared, we had a form that we filled out saying that we had completed the certain tests that were necessary, and we signed a name to it, and the name and number of that, your name and the number of that torpedo was noted, and to what torpedo tube it went into the submarine, so that they could come back to tell you that your torpedo in HMS, say, Thatcher, HMS Thatcher, those T-boat submarines, had sunk a 6,000 tonner. That was very gratifying to think that you had done something. On the 29th of June, when the 8th Army were approaching and Rommel was on the borders of Egypt, it was decided to evacuate Alexandria. There were quite a number of large depot ships in Alexandria. One of them was, I was on HMS Medway, which was a submarine depot ship. There was also destroyer depot ships, the Sandwich and the Greenwich. There was a hospital ship, and they went down to Port Suez, and we, with another Greek, small Greek depot ship, made our way to Haifa. But about 11 a.m. on the 30th of June, we had an escort of a cruiser and several destroyers. A German submarine got inside the screen, as the escorting destroyers would be called, and fired three torpedoes, which were death blow to HMS Medway. At the time, I was down below in a storeroom, and one of the torpedoes hit just below this deck I was down. There was a 4-inch ammunition hoist by the side, near the side of the ship, and to the left of that was a ladder going up for access to the deck above. The force of the explosion moved the 4-inch hoist, and at the same time the bottom of the ladder had got knocked away, so the bottom of the ladder was on the 4-inch hoist. And when the lights went out and the water began, the flat began to flood, I, in darkness, groped around, found the 4-inch hoist, 4-inch ammunition hoist, knowing full well that to my left then would be the ladder which I had to get up to get out. But there was no ladder there. So I then became extremely panicky, if you use the word. I really was in a panic. There was the ladder. I knew the 4-inch hoist was there, and I knew the ladder was there. But the fact that there was no ladder there, I was in great panic. But as the water in the flat became higher and higher, I realised that I would have to find the access hatch or drain. But as the water got higher and I swam around, I found the halfway up the ladder. I managed to climb up the ladder and get out. By that time, the ship was half over.
Was anybody else down there with you?
No, nobody. That was the most luckiest escape I've had, I think. And the fact that they were supposed to put the small manhole hatches, they're called, down and put a clip on it, but the clip wasn't properly secured, and I saw a glimmer of daylight, which directed me to the hatch. It was somehow they hadn't properly slammed it down, or there was the clip was underneath the small manhole hatch.
What if it had been secured properly?
If it had been secured properly, I would never have got out, I don't suppose, because I couldn't have found the hatch in time. When I got swimming to a raft, a young stoker, I'm sure it was, got out the raft and pushed me in because he saw I was rather injured. And I was picked up by a destroyer called HMS Hero, and the man that helped me inboard was a very old friend of mine. And then he took me and they operated on me on a mess table in one of the mess.
What kind of operation did you get?
Well, I had stitches in my face and in my head, and not operation, it was stitches. They stitched me up. And I was then went to Port Said, landed in Port Said, and we went to the sick bay in Port Said, and at midnight they took us by ambulance, four of us there were, casualties, down to the number one general hospital at El Cantara on the canal.
What condition were you in when they pulled you out of the water?
Very bad. I was very bad.
Were you cold?
No. Oh, no. Not in the Mediterranean. On the 30th of June, the water's fairly... temperature of the water's fairly...
Was there oil in the water?
No. No, nothing.
So how did the condition you were in when you came out of the Mediterranean compare when you came out of the Atlantic near Freetown?
Well, worse, I think. I think I was worse then. Because coming in the Atlantic, I had no injuries, no wounds or injuries. But this time, I was injured. I was badly bruised all over, actually. It was chest and back, and I had several bad bruises. I had a black eye, and I had several teeth knocked out. And I went to number one hospital down there. They dished me up as best as possible, and then I went by had a Red Cross train, took a crowd up to the 43rd General Hospital, which was on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. The thing was that this was a transit hospital for the wounded coming from the desert. They went in the Jignu 64th, if they were there. Not too bad. They went on down to this number one, and then they took them all up to the 43rd in the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. That was a very wonderful place. But my condition on arrival there was extremely poor, so my report says. I collapsed when I got there. And I was extremely poor and rather ill for a few days. No doubt the railway journey up didn't help, as I was sitting up, I was not a stretcher case, I was sat up.
Now, you've had rather a rough time in the Navy during the war. Do you feel on reflection, looking back, that it was all worthwhile?
I don't know about worthwhile, but I think, personally, that as my age has crept up on me, I suffer from my war experiences and from injuries I received in the war. I was eventually invalided after having a stroke in 1945. when I returned, I'd done 3 years in the Mediterranean. I went from the Medway to Beirut in Lebanon, where they established a submarine depot up there. And after a year and 9 months up there, about a year and 9 months, I suppose, I became very ill, and the doctor said to the captain, "It's about time we got this chap home. He's been out here, you know, for nearly 3 years." And the captain made a signal to that effect, and they said that as far as their records showed, I had been discharged to the United Kingdom 1 year and 9 months ago. If I was still in Beirut, I should be discharged immediately to reach HMS Sphinx in Cairo within 4 days.